Well, good morning, everyone. It is a joy to be back at the church. I also would like to add my thanks to the veterans. I personally have not been in the armed forces of the United States, but both of my parents were, and actually Barbara's also, her father was. So thank you. And that's coming on a double thank you because it has been 8 years, almost to the date, since we were at your church. And, you know, back at that time, it was just myself, my wife. We were very young, I suppose, and we've been only married for like 3 months, and it was just a special time. I'm grateful for it. We get to come back to your church. We have 4 children now, 3 boys and a baby girl, but your church 8 years ago took us on for support just when we were newly married, and you've been supporting us almost 8 years now. So I thank you for that. You supported us while we were raising support in the United States, one of the first churches to begin supporting us. And during that time, you supported us. Then we moved overseas. Well, over 5 years, you supported us over there, even during COVID. And we come back. We've been back in the States for, I guess, about 4 months now, and you've been supporting us. So thank you for all your care, for all your love toward us. Now, we are missionaries in the country of Georgia. And your pastor may have stressed this already, but it's not the state of Georgia. I was at this one church, and I was talking to people. I'm a missionary to the country of Georgia. And this guy walked up to me and is like, you know, brother, I agree with you. Those people down there, they really do live in a foreign country. And it's like he just totally missed it. But it is, you know, I know people in the Southeast. I was born in North Carolina, so I can somewhat say it is a different culture, a different world. But there's a tiny little country on the other side of the world that used to be part of the Soviet Union. And it broke off about 30 years ago when a lot of countries did. And we've spent the last over five years in that country. Now, Lord willing, tonight I will emphasize Georgia right after we're enjoying our feast. I know that I've heard lots of people, your pastor's been telling me about it, other people have, so I'm excited to share that with you. But tonight, after we eat, I will share about Georgia. But for now, we'll go to the scripture. Now, as I turn to the scripture, I want to share just a few things so that you know where I'm coming from as I open this word. I'll give a brief history of our time in Georgia, but toward the end of it, I was very much preaching in the Georgian language, you know, all the time, every week, and it was good for me, forcing me to use the language, forcing me to get ready to. And so I switch from a situation in which preaching all the time, even in a foreign language. Now I'm going to come back to the United States, and what should I talk about? And I spent about 2 months looking at different passages of scripture, praying about them. Lord, should I talk about many different things? Should I focus on one thing? And the Lord really brought to my attention these two passages of scripture, one of which I want to share with you this morning. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, so that you would know where I'm coming from, I'm going to mention a few numbers about the country of Georgia, and hopefully you can get an idea of why I believe the Lord had me to come back and ask this passage of scripture of you, ask these prayer requests of you. We spent 5 years there, and Georgia broke off from the Soviet Union about 30 years ago. In that time, 3 decades, there have been only 2 churches that have been started in the country of Georgia. It's a country, you know, of Orthodoxy. About 10% of the population are Islamic. And as far as a foreign American missionary coming in and trying to start a church among these people, the Orthodox are very religious, but also very stubborn people. And the Muslims, I'm sure you've heard about them. I only know of 2 churches that got started, one of which is a Baptist church, identifies as Baptist, the other does not, but only 2 churches in 30 years. And the time that we spent there, and even ended up sort of pastoring an existing church for a while, we saw some people come to Christ, make professions of faith. Some of those people had even been worked with by another missionary, and they'd been worked with for years. But we did not see anyone come to faith in Christ until somebody had sat down with them and studied the Bible for years with them. And I know of another missionary in the country, and they've helped us out so much. I'm so grateful they're there. And I talk to them and ask them, what's your experience? And it's the same thing. So what I'm trying to portray is, Lord willing, we're going to go back at the end of our time in the United States and ask the Lord to start a church. And I'll talk about our time there. And I really came back to ask you to pray, because the Georgian people are very stubborn in their resistance to a foreigner coming in and teaching them. And I'm grateful for the good things. But if I, after 5 years, there's one thing that's clear than more than anything else, and that is I need the Lord's help, really need the Lord's help. And as your church has been so kind in supporting us almost 8 years, I come back to ask you especially pray for us. You know, there, you think about a missionary on furlough, there's a lot of purposes for it. You may think, well, a missionary maybe needs to come back and maybe their family needs help. And they come back to talk to their pastor, get counseling. Maybe their health needs to be recovered. Maybe they're struggling with depression. You know, or maybe it's something more like where I'm at, and it's just like, oh, it's good to be back in America and eat American food. That's good to see the churches too. But turkey? Oh, you know, the turkeys in Georgia, there's something different about those birds. I'm not sure what it is. So I'm looking forward to the turkey here. I know it's going to be nice and tender. Come back, you know, there's Vienna sausages, exciting things that you loved as a child, and you give them to your children, and they're like, oh, this is so nasty. But there's some positive things. You know, you see your family, you see your parents, your parents get to see your grandparents. And I'm praying that the Lord will use our time in the States toward people we meet out of church, toward people we meet in church. I'm praying it'll be good for you. But in my mind, the primary reason for me to come back is to tell you about this upcoming attempt to start a church, tell you it's failed many times in the country of Georgia. There's actually been several missionaries I know that have tried and left, and just ask you to pray. But let's read this passage of scripture, and we'll get into it. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and begin reading in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity just to be back at this church and to celebrate your word, to celebrate our life with you. And I thank you for all your goodness and all your kindness. And I pray that you'd be with us this morning. I pray that you would take your word and use it. Make us more like Jesus Christ because of what we read here today. In Christ's name I ask this. Amen. Now, this passage of scripture has a history. And the history is back in Acts chapter 17. In Acts 17, the man named Paul, if you've been in church a lot, you read your Bible, I'm sure you know about Paul. But Paul was a preacher. You could also say he was a missionary. And he ends up in Acts chapter 17 in a place called Thessalonica. He goes there. He starts preaching the word to these people. And as we look at Acts chapter 17, he probably was not there very long, maybe a few weeks at the most. And some people, amazingly, within a short period of time, some people believed the gospel, got saved, and a church was started. Now, a few weeks later, the scripture says there were these unbelieving Jews, and they stirred up a multitude, and the town literally came out and rioted against Paul and against the preaching of the scripture. And the new church, new believers, now perhaps they had a background, perhaps they were attached to the synagogue there, but these new believers sent Paul away, but a church remained. And in that you see the power of God in keeping his people. I mean, could you imagine a church started a few weeks, missionary has to leave town, in that church, perhaps, we're not sure exactly, 2 years later, Paul writes back to them this letter. And the emphasis of these verses is prayer. And that's what I want to talk to you about. But before I do that, there's something that's essential that you must notice. If you look in verse 1, he says, pray for us. He himself, his co-laborers, that the word of the Lord may have free course. We see that Paul, perhaps 2 years later, was still preaching the word of the Lord. We must be preachers of the word. And there's a lot of verses that I could turn to that talk about in scripture. For this morning, let me just turn to James chapter 1. You know, there's scriptures that talk about, if you're familiar with the scripture, how it says the word is a sword and it's got two edges on it. There's other passages of scripture that talk about how the word is living in a way that I don't even understand. When you give the word of God, it is actually alive and it is effectual and it'll work in people's hearts because it is God himself. But if you look in James chapter 1, verse 21, this is an exhortation to the people. He says, "Wherefore, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word." There's a lot in there, but just for now, just think about the last phrase, which is able to save your souls. We must be preachers of the word. Why? Because in the word of God, we read of the way of salvation. We read of ourselves as sinners in need of a savior. And I am so grateful that the Lord has saved my soul. I can remember really first understanding I was a sinner because as a young child, and I was probably... Yeah, this is bad advice for my children, but I was probably 8 years old. I can remember being in a grocery store, and somehow in the course of being in that grocery store, I was by myself. And I ended up in the candy aisle, and if you've seen these type of things, there's these bins of candy. And I stole a piece of candy, and I ate it, and I thought I'd gotten away with it. But, and there were many sins in my childhood, not just the one, but that's the one I really remember. And years later, a few years later, I can remember, because of that piece of candy, realizing that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And that is why Jesus Christ came and he died to pay that I could have eternal life. Because in the sight of God, the blood, perfect blood, the sacrifice of Christ is the only thing that can wash away that sin. So when you talk about missions, when you talk about starting a church, it's not that we're going to go do something really strange. We're going to preach the word, because only in the word is the power to save souls. You know, and I must lose any confidence in myself, especially in myself, in any plan that I can think of that will come up with something besides the word to actually save souls. We must be preachers of the word of the Lord. You know, and the ground can be hardened. Satan can make a definite opposition. We must preach the word. But let's look, though, at the main point of this passage. We see Paul is preaching the word, but what is he asking for? He's asking that they would pray for us. You know, when you think about prayer, and you think about prayer perhaps for your pastor, you think about prayer for a missionary, there's all sorts of things that you can pray for them about. You know, as you think, as I even think about our family back in the United States, we spent an awful lot of time working on the Georgian language, and maybe I'll talk a little bit about Georgian language tonight. And you're back here, you could pray that we keep up with that language. You know, if any of you saw them, I know some of you saw on the way into Sunday school this morning, I had the baby girl, and some people were like, "Oh, she's a perfect little baby." Yeah, I don't remember the exact words, but I think somebody said those words. And it's really true. You get these perfect little babies, and you're like, "Oh, it's so beautiful. We have a beautiful baby girl." But I'm old enough to find out your children, they turn into little children, you know, 3 and 4 year olds. And you're like, "Oh, why can't they be perfect little biblical people?" But they have a sin nature like you do. You can pray for the family of a pastor, a preacher, a missionary. You can pray for safety. You know, I'm not sure how visible it is. I wasn't paying attention, but we're traveling in his camper. It is good. It gives stability to our little children. Barbara's grandfather is freely letting us use it. And the only problem with it was that it was like a stretch in, you know, a learning curve. It's got a stick, and I'd driven a stick before, but, you know, not very much. So you got to learn how to do that. Besides that, that thing's big. and you got to turn around things. And I hurry this. But, you know, the very first meeting I got after I came to, after we picked it up from her grandfather's, I went to this church and they had this S drive shape. And actually, I almost did the exact same thing at your church because I pulled into the wrong lot and I was trying to go for an S. But this church had these flowers out and their flower beds. And I was like, oh, you know, a missionary doesn't want to make that impression, just run all over the flower beds, you know, on the first Sunday you get there. But I was like carefully trying to drive that thing through the S. And Lord helping me, I didn't run over their flowers. I get into the parking lot and I think I'm safe. And I pull off to the side. Now, I didn't run into a car, but I ran right into a tree branch. And afterward, it was like this. You know, there's things you can pray for and you can ask the Lord to watch over and protect someone that's preaching the word, your pastor, a missionary. And I'm grateful, so grateful for everyone who's remembered and prayed. But I want you to look at this passage of scripture. It's not those type of prayer requests that Paul focuses on. He gives three prayer requests. And I came back to really ask you to pray these requests for Georgia. Get our prayer card, write it down. Pray this for the country of Georgia. What does Paul ask this church? He gives three requests. He says, brethren, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Do any of you love to run? And I know maybe you get icy roads around here, and you know, now the thought of icy roads is terrifying in that camper. So, we made it into town. Lord willing, we'll leave town just fine. But do any of you go out and run? Have you loved to run? Maybe, especially if there was a lot of veterans here, they had to run when they were older. My dad was in the Marine Corps, so he did tell all sorts of stories. He passed away a number of years ago. But when I was a teenager, I ran because we're in this like a program. And, you know, there's a course, a racetrack, a running track that you must run on, unless you're cross country, of course, but many times. You know what I'm talking about. This word here, this course, is the same idea. There is a track, a path that is to be run. And as a runner, Paul asked that they would pray that the word as a runner could go forth and spread. Could you imagine a situation in which the word of God is given and the word just goes out and moves from person to person? It's given on this street and it just moves through the street and ends up on the next street because it is having a free course. It is moving without obstacles. I've never seen that happen. Would you like to see the word of God in your town, in your neighborhood, among your family, among your friends, just have a free course to move and spread freely? That's what he's asking that this would pray. Not that he himself is a runner, but that the word as the runner would have a free course. Now, why doesn't the word have a free course? Well, there's two basic reasons. The word does not have a free course. One, because the people that have the word are very reluctant, can I even say scared, to give the word. Because, oh, I received the word. You know, that's the master's job. I'm going to stay put. I'm not going to go speak the word. That's the one reason. God's people are reluctant, maybe afraid, maybe ashamed to give it. The second reason that the word of God does not have a free course is because it meets opposition. Now, I know that I'm going to do this a little out of order, but I believe the first prayer request, especially after being in the country of Georgia, is very much tied to this third prayer request. And if you look in verse 3, he says, pray for us. And then verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. The word of God does not have a free course because it meets opposition. And in context here, I'm very sure that as Paul is writing this letter to the Thessalonican church, he's writing and he's maybe even thinking back to the riot that was stirred up and he had to leave town. I had never really seen a riot until moving overseas, and even then I saw it at a distance or on TV, and I go overseas and there's all sorts of rioting that's happened in the United States around the last election, so maybe you've seen a riot. Riots can be scary. You know, people just out of control. You know, sin nature takes over and they're smashing everything. It can be scary. And Paul's probably thinking back to something like that as he writes this verse. Of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord does not have a free course. It's given. If the word is given, it meets opposition. You know, in the country of Georgia, I look at it and as I think about the country of Georgia, one of the main challenges are that the people love to argue. Have you maybe, you know, as Thanksgiving's coming on, you're going to have friends over, maybe you're going to have family over, and you feel like there's that one person that I wish I could just leave off the list if I could because they're going to start a fight. Or maybe you have that relative and you know them, they're just going to thrive on conflict. Now, hopefully you don't have anyone like that in your family. But if you could imagine an entire culture in Georgia where the people love to argue, I think it's their national pastime, their private national pastime. And I'll give you just one example quickly. I began preaching in this church, and you know, especially at the beginning, you don't understand their language very much, and everything's scripted out in advance and studied. And I go preach, and I'd say something like, baptism, you know, what is the purpose of baptism? Well, it doesn't save your soul. And literally, some people in the congregation would stand up and yell, start yelling that they disagree with that. And then somebody over here would yell at them, or they'd start yelling at me. And I am not exaggerating to say that these people, they could just start standing up. And one person will start talking, and the other person wants to be heard, so they'll start shouting and to get their voice heard and say, listen to me, this is what I... And the volume just goes and goes and goes. And if you, like me, you're a foreign American, and you don't understand their culture, you're like just thinking, oh, don't these people know you'll be quiet in church? That's what they're supposed to be doing in church. And I don't even really understand what they're yelling about. But the Georgian people literally will thrive in this argumentative atmosphere. And if you could imagine the challenge of going and talking to them, especially if there's more than one of them in a group, and their first response is to argue anything you have to say. It's a huge difficulty in speaking to the people about Christ. Now, that's a general thing, but let's get more specific. And I will give you, let's just do one example. I'll give you one example of things that we've faced so that you would just get an idea of, you know, where I'm coming from. You know, there's been direct opposition. There's been some people, especially a priest in general. He's like speaking against, saying, oh, these foreigners, don't listen to them. But this would be more typical. I have a neighbor, and we've known this neighbor for years. And one thing that's really big about Georgian culture is that you go and you eat in their houses and you spend time, maybe even hours, in their houses. So I went to this one guy, and I'd been in his house many times before and talked to him and his prayer time. So he's pulls out an image, they call them icons, and he's burning a candle to it, he's praying, he's doing his stuff. And this was different, though, on this day because he takes a candle when he's done praying, and he's like, here, you pray. It never been happened to me before. And I was like, well, first of all, you can't pray. Praying, now they'll fight you and say, I'm not really praying to this thing. I'm just praying in front of it, or I'm enlisting its help. And he's like, you pray. But I was like, I can't pray. It's an act of worship. This is what I'm thinking. And I'm thinking, okay, I've talked to this guy before. How do I talk to him now? So I just asked the guy, well, you know, I don't know who this is. Who is this? Who are you praying in front of? Who are you praying to? And he's like, oh, this is King David. And this isn't David like in the Bible. They have a famous king from the 12th century, and they call him King David the Builder. And he's famous because the country at his time, the previous king, the Muslim armies had come into the country, basically overwhelmed much of the country. But he rises up and he gathers the Georgians together, fights them, and expels the Muslim invaders from the country. He's a very famous man. He's perhaps the second most famous king in their history. And so I'm thinking, oh, this is David. It's not Jesus, a picture of Jesus. It's not like a picture of Peter. This is like a secular guy. And he's praying to him. Now, the conversation go for a while. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but it came down to just asking this guy, you know, this guy was a man. He's a great man. Yes, yes. He's a strong king in your history. He's just a man, though. Do you really think he can hear you? Do you really think, even if he can hear you, that God has given him the power to help you? Or that he has the power all of himself to bless you and protect you and take care of you? And against scripture, the giving of the scripture, against reasoning, trying to speak to this guy, he just closes the conversation and is like, we're done. King David, and this is what he tells me, King David defends Georgia till this day. And that's a very common response from people in that country, stubborn unbelief, resistance to the word of the Lord. Now, the word must be preached. If you will not preach the word, if you will not speak the word, if a missionary will not speak the word, what is the result? The only possible result is that that missionary will be unfruitful. That church will be unfruitful. There's no other seed that we can sow besides the word of God that'll go and produce spiritual fruit. There's no other seed, absolutely none. If you think, well, I'll just leave out the preaching of the word, I'll do these other things, these other programs, and I won't preach, is doomed to be unfruitful. That missionary will have no fruit. That church will have no fruit if they forsake the preaching of the word. Now, here's the challenge. You have relatives. You have neighbors. People like in the country of Georgia. And you're met direct opposition or stubborn unbelief. And if you give the word and give the word, and give the word, opposition, unbelief, you can get sort of feeling like, well, the word doesn't really work. Or, I'm tired of giving the word. I've witnessed to my brother. I've witnessed to my mother, you know, somebody. They just don't want it. They refuse it again and again and again. Now, that'll do something to you. That'll either make you, bring you to the point where you're like, I'm going to stop preaching the word. I'm going to quit. Or it'll drive you to God. Now, as we look at this passage of scripture, I've thought a lot about this passage of scripture. I'm still thinking about this passage of scripture. The word is weighty and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. When you meet the opposition, why must God's people pray? Do we mean that the word is weak? And that the word can't work on its own? No, we don't mean the word is weak. The word is God himself, Jesus himself. But when God designed evangelism, when God designed the pattern of preaching as set forth in the New Testament, we see in this passage and other passages that God's people, that's okay. That's actually another sermon, so I can get it later. I don't need that one. God designed it so that when his people are preaching, they meet the opposition, that it will drive them to himself and to ask the Lord, help me. Now, this does two things. One, it'll make you lose confidence in yourself. You know, you spend a long enough time witnessing to somebody and you not seeing them respond, you'll realize that you really need God's help. And the other thing is directly appealing to the Holy Spirit of God to come in and to work in that person's heart. Because I can come and I can think my words are, you know, I can speak well. I know how to get the profession of faith out of this guy. But what you want is that the Lord would do a work and produce a new birth in that person. You want God's work. And only God can do that, only by the Holy Spirit. And after 5 years in the country of Georgia, I can honestly come back and tell you and say, unless God does something in that country with those people, there will be no church. But I'll come back to prayer in a minute. Let's look at this. And I'll just mention this second prayer request, Willie. He says, pray that the word would have free course. Pray for deliverance from the unreasonable, from the wicked men, from the men without faith. Pray for deliverance from them. But his second prayer request was that the word of the Lord would be glorified in verse 1. Now, when the word is glorified, that means it's lifted up, it's honored, it's exalted. Somebody's paying attention to it, respecting the word. When is the word glorified? The word of the Lord is simply glorified if God's people will speak it. That lifts up the word and says, hey, look, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the teaching of Christ. Lifts it up, honors it. But especially he says that this word is glorified even as it is with you. I believe even more so, Paul is thinking about those that believed it and not himself preaching it. The word is glorified, exalted, when God's people will believe it. You know, we have a neighbor, it's a different neighbor, and, you know, you meet people, you talk to them a long time, and sometimes you can talk to many, many times, and eventually someone made a profession of faith. But if you understand where a person comes from, perhaps they're an idol worshiper. Perhaps they're, you know, a very sinful man, very sinful lady, and they come to Christ. But like in Georgia, there's a lot of religious people, a lot of people that are holding to all sorts of things. My infant baptism, my giving, you know, I got blessed by the priest. The priest put a cross of oil on my head, all these type of things. And they're hoping, by what they would say, not even what I am making them say, but what they would say is, hopefully God will let me into heaven one day because of all these things. But if somebody like our neighbor will let go of all that religious stuff that they do, look what I did, look what my priest did for me, look at all this good stuff. And if they'll just say, that is nothing, and they will take Christ and say, because of Christ, I'm a believer. And they move from man-made religion to Jesus Christ, believes Jesus Christ, rest on Jesus Christ, trust him. That honors the word of God. It lifts it up. These are his three prayer requests. And I'd ask that you would pray for us, these three prayer requests in the country of Georgia, of course, for your church, pray for them too. Preach the word. Pray for the preachers. Last of all, I want you to notice verse 3. Says the word, but the Lord is faithful. Despite the opposition, despite the wicked men, the men without faith, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. It's very precious there. But if you are somebody that know what I mean when I say you give the word and you preach the word, again and again, and you witness to somebody. Maybe you've seen fruit. Praise the Lord for the fruit. And you think, how do I know it's possible for my relative to get saved? How do I know that it's possible for a church to be started in the country of Georgia? How do I know that my church has a future and will not die? Because of the faithfulness of God, he will never forsake his people. And it says, the Lord is faithful, he'll establish them, set them firmly, keep them from evil. How do you know the work of God is possible? Because of the Lord's faithfulness. And if you think about preaching, if you think about witnessing, there's times when you just need to lean on God's faithfulness and say, Lord, I need help. I'm going to lean on you here. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to place my confidence in your faithfulness. Now, if I could tie all this together, the main idea is prayer, the specific prayer requests. We talked about the preaching of the word, trust, because prayer is powerful, because we have the faithfulness of God to lean on. And you think, if the word is not being received, if there is a lot of opposition, a lot of resistance. And you say, I've witnessed to that person for 10 years. And I'm still witnessing to them. What do you do? Well, people's unbelief or opposition outside of the church will either drive you to quit preaching, quit telling the word, or it'll drive you to prayer. And we, in closing, we came back to the United States a few months ago. And the Lord even, I was thinking about this passage of scripture, and the Lord even showed me something. And here we have our three little boys. They're all got their blue shirts on, so my wife likes to let them match, and it works well at their age. But you maybe can see the littlest one beside my wife. That's Paul. Hi, Paul. He's ignoring me. He's like, oh, it's embarrassing or something there. Or his coloring book's exciting. But I came back to the United States, and he turned four, but he was 3 years old. And this is before we picked up the camper. We were staying in this house. And you have something here in the United States that's not over in Georgia. You have double doors, and you've got your strong door. You lock it. Unless you're like, oh, I trust all my neighbors, you lock your door. And you go inside, you sleep at night. But many times we have this other door. It's a screen door, a glass door. We were staying at this house and they had a glass door, so it's a little bit heavier than a screen door. And I was unloading stuff from the car. I was out by the car and they came out. They all had their little backpacks. He was getting his backpack and he gets it and he goes up to the door. Now, this is the situation. It was up on steps. So I'm over by the car and I am not even thinking about the door. You know, America is normal to me. America is strange to the children. There's been several times that they've thought, what is that? That's strange. Why do Americans do that? This food is funny. You know, something like that you never expect your children to do. But he'd never seen this double door system. So he goes to go inside and he goes up the steps and he gets up right before the door and he goes to open the door. He does. And you know how these doors are. They kind of hold themselves, at least for a little bit. You open them up, and they're slowly going to start coming back. But he's thinking, okay. And he lets go of it, and he tries to go, and he opens the inner door. Now, it's right about that time. He's three, so he's moving a little slow. And he's got his back. That the door has been going like this, and all of a sudden, if you know what I'm talking about, it suddenly closes the last little bit all at once. Now, he thought, that thing got him by the back of the legs here. If you could have heard him, he thought that that door or something worse had gotten him. He was like, you know, he starts screaming, Daddy! And he's got his high-pitched voice going. And then he starts saying, help me! Help me! High voice. He's like panicky voice. And of course, I wanted to go and see and help him. He's my child. What's wrong with him? When you think about these verses of scripture, God's people faithfully preaching the word, but running into situations that they don't know how to fix, running into people that they don't know how will come to Christ. God designed evangelism so that when those type of situations happen, we would go to him and say, Father, there's nothing I can do. I need help. Would you help me, Father? These prayer requests are from God. Pray that the word would have free course. It's from God. God's will for you to pray this prayer request. The preaching is in line with God's word. The prayer requests are in line with God's word. The only thing remains for his people are to preach and to pray. Now, I really come back in all honesty to tell your church and other churches, and I'll explain the timing and stuff tonight, say, would you please pray? Remember these prayer requests and say, God, in the country of Georgia, they would have free course. The word would be glorified, not man's religion, but the word would be glorified. And for deliverance from those that will oppose the word. Pray it for your church. Pray it for your town, your community, for your family. I don't know your area, but it sure does seem like in other places I've been, there's a little bit more of an anti-Christian attitude, especially toward maybe, at least in some cases, Baptists. Went to this one guy and he's like, oh, Baptist people, you know, you're the ones that are against abortion, you know, and other things, you know, and I don't know for sure. But if our country is going to move toward being antagonistic toward biblical preaching and is moving in that direction, God's people are going to have to pray for the word to be effective. Preach the word and then pray. So at this time, we'll close the service. I'll pray, and as the pastor can come and close as he sees fit. Father, thank you just for this opportunity to open your scripture, to come and speak in your name. Thank you for the kindness of this church. And I pray now that you would bless your word, and that you would do if it is you would please and honor you. Thank you for your love and for your care, Almighty Father. Amen.